Supervax Saturday, over 550 vaccination sites open around the country. A Vaxathon broadcasting from midday. The aim, 100,000 jabs in one day. Auckland, of course, one focus. 13% unvaccinated, with 136 community cases in the last 2 days. And in the far north, nearly 31% of the population unvaccinated. Director General of Health, Dr. Ashley Bloomfield's with me now. Kia ora.
Morena, Kim.
You know, we probably all know people, perfectly intelligent people, people who do not think that there's a microchip in the jab, whom I've been counselled against calling bonkers, but secretly I think they are. But these perfectly intelligent people who say, I'm healthy, I have no pre-existing conditions, I never get sick, I don't need the vaccination. What would you say to them?
Well, what I would say is most of those people would have been vaccinated a number of times during their lives. And the reason they were vaccinated against a whole range of diseases, measles, rubella, mumps, tetanus, diphtheria, hepatitis B, the reason for that is because vaccination actually prevents them getting those conditions in the first place. And those, none of those conditions, or very few of those conditions, are things that most people will be exposed to in their lifetimes. But here we have, in COVID-19, a very real and present danger. And you mentioned the figures in Auckland over the last couple of days. But I think people don't need to look too far afield, even to Australia and elsewhere around the world, to see that once the virus is in the community, it doesn't just pass through and sort of everyone's okay. It carries with it a huge health toll, both physical and mental health toll. And as you mentioned in your introduction, and I'm glad you're speaking to someone about this, the prevalence of long COVID is substantial. So it's not a trivial disease.
Is it, in your view, and I'll be talking to Dr. Potter about this in a moment, but is it, in your view, distinctly different from what people have described as the after effects of influenza, the long COVID?
Well, most definitely, based on what we're seeing in the science and in the follow-up studies that are being done, and it's great they are being done and published so quickly, but, you know, that large study published just a couple of weeks ago that showed, I think it was between 200,000 and 300,000 people in the study, over 30% of people still had some symptoms 6 months later, 6 months after their infection. And for some of them, those symptoms were debilitating.
Just remind us, because this seems to be one of the most pertinent facts that people need to bear in mind, how many COVID-19 patients in hospital this week had been vaccinated?
Well, I'm not sure about those there this week, but I was re-looking at this yesterday, and I think we spoke about this yesterday, but, you know, of our about 160 to 170 people admitted into hospital during this latest outbreak over the last couple of months, just three of them had been fully vaccinated. And even if you look at the full number of cases right across the outbreak, only around 4% of our cases were fully vaccinated. So if you compare that with the figure, as you said at the start, 87% of Aucklanders have now had at least one dose of the vaccine. It's a very stark difference.
If you are healthy with no pre-existing conditions, blah, 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 never get sick, don't need the vaccination, they may not have ever had a vaccination. There are those people who believe that vaccination is unnecessary for them, that they can acquire natural immunity as they go along. What do you say to those people?
Well, the first thing I would say is that actually the proportion of the population who have never had a vaccination or who absolutely have a fundamental anti-vaccination belief is very small. There is a bigger proportion who have specific concerns about the COVID vaccination and some in particular around the Pfizer vaccine. But what I would say to those people is that the vaccine has been shown, and, you know, hundreds of millions of doses of the Pfizer vaccine have now been given globally, and the evidence is really clear that it protects not just you as an individual, but those around you. And one of the things I think that that really struck me early in the pandemic was the number of health professionals who, in caring for people with COVID, were infected themselves. And some of those health professionals died. And they were perfectly healthy, well, people. And so for those who may have concerns about vaccination per se, the thing about vaccination is it doesn't just protect the individual, but it's hugely important in terms of our overall response and providing that population immunity. So there's an element of generosity, of kindness, of collectivism and vaccination that I think many people have absolutely got behind.
So one needs to get vaccinated because others can't or won't?
Well, that's a huge point for, of course, COVID at the moment. We know that our children up to age 12 can't yet be vaccinated. And there is a very small proportion of people who can't be vaccinated, adults. But there are also others, even for those who are well, there are others who are not so well that do have pre-existing conditions. They may be immunosuppressed because they've had a transplant or they've got cancer and they're being treated. Those people are far more likely to get very unwell and die if they get COVID. And
so no reason for those people not to get vaccinated?
No reason for those people not to get vaccinated. Very few people, the estimates are, less than 100 or 200 people in New Zealand genuinely couldn't receive this vaccine. And that would be mostly because they've had a very serious reaction to the first dose of the vaccine, or they have a history of very serious anaphylaxis.
When we talk about 90% of the population needing to be vaccinated, does that mean eligible population or total population?
Well, of course, over 90% of the current eligible population, 90% equates to about 75% of our total population. And obviously, the higher we get, the better, because the more adults that are protected, the greater protection that offers to children. And
children, I mean, to be factual, children very rarely get very sick from COVID. Is that correct?
That is correct. And even if they get it and they pass it around, they are individually less likely to get very unwell, and the death rate amongst children is very low. There's no doubt about that.
And so how urgent is it, in your view, to get the vaccination going for 5 to 11-year-olds?
Well, I think we should be looking as quickly as possible at the application we're expecting from Pfizer. And we've asked our technical advisory group to be on standby, really, and they are constantly looking at the data that is coming through. But there will be a very real sort of decision point, particularly for parents, if the vaccine is made available. They need to make sure they've got good information about the balance of risks and benefits. But my sense is there are a lot of parents out there who are very keen, should this vaccine be approved and offered to 5 to 11-year-olds, they are very keen to get their children vaccinated.
What about the booster vaccination? Where are we on that? How urgent is that?
Well, we are following what's happening around the world, and a number of countries, particularly ones that started their vaccination program a little earlier than us, have started offering boosters. I had a quick look at a good look at where the latest evidence was just yesterday, and studies show different things, but the overall sense is, yes, we will definitely be moving to offering a booster dose, and we're expecting an application from Pfizer to extend the approval for the current vaccine to, for that third dose. And rest assured, we are already planning for rolling out a booster program once that approval is there. We've certainly got the vaccine available both now and on order to be able to deliver that.
There do appear to be, I don't know the extent of it, but certainly a number of people who are waiting, possibly influenced by the Thames Coromandel Mayor, possibly not, waiting for the Novavax vaccine. Is there any reason to hold out for that? I mean, I understand they think that RNA is some novel technology, which is nonsense, and that the Novavax is in some way safer. What do you say?
Well, just to two or three points there. First of all, the Pfizer vaccine is very safe. And in a sense, not only have we got the data from the studies that were undertaken last year, the clinical trials, but there is now that real world experience right around the globe with hundreds of millions of doses. And that's not the same for Novavax. Novavax is still in trial. It's not actually approved in any country because they haven't yet submitted the data. So some people are holding out for Novavax because of the nature of the vaccine being one that doesn't use the mRNA technology. But what I would say is, you know, it actually hasn't got the same level of real-world experience yet. It's still in trial. The other thing, though, is that I do know some people who do have concerns about the RNA vaccines, but they would be prepared to have one of the other vaccines we have already approved, like the AstraZeneca or the Janssen vaccine. And so we are close to finalising a backup for those people, particularly those who are required to be vaccinated for their work. And so, yes, I would be prepared to be vaccinated, but I would prefer to have one of these other two vaccines.
So why are people banging on about Novavax, which, as you say, has not been approved yet, and not talking about the other ones?
I'm not too sure, Kim. It might be the same reason that people bang on about ivermectin and various other things. They've seen some information, and sometimes these things get picked up and get amplified through a whole range of channels. But again, I just want to go back to my point. Novavax is still in trial. Pfizer, we have now over nearly a year of real-world experience in hundreds of millions of people, and it's just showing how safe and effective it is.
If someone had told you when you went for the Director General's job that you would have to cope with this, would you have said, nah, I'm going to be a plumber?
Well, it was probably too late to be a plumber then, although I could retrain.
Never too late.
Look, it's a very good question. One never knows quite what's coming along. What I will say is there were certainly moments early on in the pandemic when I had that sense. I would wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night thinking, oh my goodness, this is really challenging. But I guess, you know, you take it as it comes along. And if I reflect, you know, on the last 20 months and what we set out to do, really, which was to protect our population, to try and protect our economy, to protect our health system, and to stop the virus getting into the Pacific, those were our broad overall goals. And I feel we've done pretty well as a country to date, and we're still really focused on maintaining that good outcome.
It was always inevitable that the team spirit would become frayed over time. And now, you know, simultaneous with Super Vax Saturday, we're seeing people marching around being anti-vax. Does that distress you? Do you worry about things falling apart?
Oh, I don't. I'm hugely encouraged by the level of support New Zealanders have provided and given willingly to our efforts over the, you know, since the start of the pandemic. And right from that first lockdown, it was extraordinarily high level of support and you know, we use the word compliance, it's not the right word, cooperation, really. People looked out for each other, and I think as we've seen over the last few weeks, particularly when the reality of COVID in our community has hit home to many people, they have realised that vaccination is something that they can do, not just for themselves, but again, it's part of our overall response. And, you know, just reading through the media this morning and people have been interviewed about why they got vaccinated, very few of them were saying, I did it for myself. They were doing it for their whānau, for their friends, for their community, and as part of the wider effort. And I'm hugely encouraged by that.
I spoke to Graham Le Gros the other day, and he says we really need a sterilising vaccine to, you know, really quell the infection, which ties into the fact that even vaccinated people can get infected and spread it. What weight would you put on needing that sterilising vaccine?
Well, Graham's a better person to sort of know the science behind that. What I would say that, yes, with the Pfizer vaccine, people can still become infected. And this is the whole thing about the vaccine. It's nearly around 90%, even with the Delta variant, 90% of people vaccinated who do get infected will have asymptomatic or very mild infection. And yes, they can transmit it on, but the studies and the real world data are showing that it is reducing transmission quite a lot compared with those who are unvaccinated. So that's a good thing.
Quite a lot doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement.
About a 70% reduction in transmission onwards, and mostly that is because people are asymptomatic. You know, it is the shedding of the virus through sneezing, coughing, speaking, but because vaccinated people, even if they're infected, tend to be either asymptomatic or have very mild symptoms, they're just not going around spreading and shedding the virus.
Right. You know, I'm still getting people insisting, and I'd quite like to clear it up. I mean, I don't want to go through all the things that people are insisting about, but this is one. Vaccinated people carry the same viral load as unvaccinated. True or false?
The emerging evidence is that they have a lower viral load and that they shed the virus for a shorter period of time. So they're not as infectious for as long.
So that's just a fact that is another reason to get vaccinated.
It is indeed.
All right. What are you doing today?
Oh, look, I've got an eye-watering, but really what looks like a very enjoyable day ahead of me. I'm heading into a Facebook Live session in at the ministry. Then I've got a number of visits around the Wellington, Rohe over the day, Porirua, Karori, and a couple of sessions out at Avalon, as you mentioned, the Vaxathon, which will be a huge blast from the past. So I'm looking forward to, I think, doing a session on the phones, maybe some interviews, joining in the fun out there. So really looking forward to getting into the spirit of it. And there are some amazing events happening, not just in Whanganui Atara, but around the motu. I think people are aware that you can get vaccinated on a 787 Dreamliner in Auckland. You can get vaccinated on the Urn Store in Queenstown. And there's all manner of fun events around the country with over 700 clinics and vac centres. So it's going to be a great day.
Excellent to talk to you. Have a good day, Dr. Ashley Bloomfield, Director General of Health.